Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Congratulations on getting through 9-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. My name is Carrington Harris. To my right is the sports machine, Sean Levine. Brandon Kiley is here. We have been arguing about the Chiefs all day. It's a beautiful fall day outside. I hate to be in such a crabby mood about the Chiefs, but I'm not going to lie, I'm a little upset.
Yeah, what's your problem? KU and MU, the series is back on. You should be in a good mood today.
I mean, I was in a fantastic mood. They don't play until 2020. The Chiefs have problems today.
That's fair.
The Chiefs can't stop the run today.
That's fair.
So that's why I'm upset.
Technically, they don't play today. Technically, they still have a week until they can't add players.
No, you're right.
It's fine.
Just when I hear from Therese and Sam Mellinger that they don't think that they're going to be in the mood of buying players, and I trust their reporting, and I know it's coming from someone high up with the Kansas City Chiefs, that upsets me a little bit.
Here's the other thing. Like, if you're the Chiefs, just to kind of throw this out there, what's the upside of floating this today? Like, unless you're really not going to make a move, what is the upside of leaking today? We're probably not going to make a move at the deadline. Like, the only upside is this might make people a little bit more understanding when it actually happens next Tuesday. It makes me wonder if they really aren't going to do this.
That's just not, I wouldn't tell anybody that. Like, if I worked for the Chiefs right now and I was in the business of giving information to Sam Mellinger and Therese Paylor, I just wouldn't be telling them this. Ask me a question about something else. I'll answer that. But when it comes to the trade deadline, where I know you're going to talk about this in public, we don't want to talk about this right now.
Remember a couple of years ago when the Royals thought they were still in it and they made that trade with the Padres?
Mm-hmm.
They got back those three relief pitchers. Nobody can even remember their name. Like, maybe
Brandon Mauer.
Mauer, thank you. Mm-hmm. We can name one of them. That's what's going to happen. Like, if they make a move, it's going to be some dude that's not going to have any impact on the team that only BK's ever heard of. They're not making that splash move that we've been talking about this entire season. That's not going to happen.
They added Brandon Mauer, and I think Travis Wood was another one of those players. Maybe I'm wrong.
I can't remember, but I'm Travis Wood.
Okay, he was close.
Which one?
I think they sent Travis Wood to the Padres.
Okay, my bad.
Stay in your lane.
I mean, I knew Brandon Mauer was part of the trade. He was absolutely terrible. I can't believe he got the Royals in the 5 o'clock hour today. I mean, you never know what
Trevor Cahill.
Trevor Cahill. Oh, okay.
Nothing's going on. KUMU renewing their series, trade deadline. Chiefs going for sure. We're talking about Royals baseball, baby.
You brought the Royals up. I didn't bring the Royals up.
If you want some news on the Royals, it sounds like they're, you know, the Matheny thing.
Let's get into the top stories of the day.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
At number one, the border war is officially back. Mizzou and KU announced last night that they will agree to a six-year series. It'll have two games in Kansas City, including the first one, two games in Columbia, and two games out in Lawrence. First game is next December at Sprint Center. Here's what KU's AD Jeff Long had to say on Fesco in the morning earlier today.
And then ultimately, I think it came down to, our coaches and Coach Self. The rivalry was maybe slipping away, and we thought it was important for our program and for really our university and college basketball. It's a great rivalry. So, you know what, when the Kansas folks got momentum and got behind it as I talked quietly. It felt like the right time to do it, and then we went to work with Jim to make it a reality.
If you missed that interview, it was a good one. It was Mizzou AD Jim Sterk and KU AD Jeff Long on together talking about how this all came together. It is on the radio.com app and 610sports.com. C-Dot, what is your reaction to the renewal of the border war?
I'm not going to lie. I'm so happy about this. I've been wanting Missouri and Kansas to play each other since the day that Missouri made the decision to join the SEC. This is in the best interest of everybody. I also want to give credit, and I know we'll talk about this after the hits. I want to give a lot of credit to Jeff Long. Jeff Long's daughter attends Missouri. He also was the AD at Arkansas, so he has long ties to the University of Missouri and the SEC. And I want to give a lot of credit to Bill Self. I've been a long believer that the only reason these two teams didn't play each other was because Bill didn't want them to. Maybe Bill's not 100% on board and doesn't love the idea, but at some point they had to ask Bill his opinion and if they should play each other, and he had to give it the okay. So I'll give Bill a lot of credit. I'll give Jeff Long a lot of credit for finally making this happen.
Yeah, this is great. And I have to admit, the timing caught me off guard. Like, I didn't really even hear rumblings. I figured at some point they would renew this rivalry, but yesterday I heard the news kind of came out of nowhere. The rivalry is back. And both these teams kind of had a fake rivalry for the last few years. MU told us it was Arkansas. KU told us it was K-State. We all know the Border War is one of the best rivalries in all of college basketball. Actually, behind Carolina Duke and Louisville, Kentucky, I don't think there's a better one. So you're right, whether you're an MU fan, a KU fan, just a college basketball fan, a Kansas City, and this is great news. And the six-game series was absolutely brilliant, not just playing one game and seeing what happens. Playing at the Sprint Center, then in Lawrence, then MU, and doing that rotation again. I love everything about this move.
Two.
Hit number two is a question about whether or not we're going to see Mizzou versus Kansas in football as well. Here's Jeff Long once again earlier today on FESCO in the Morning.
We're continuing to talk about other sports, and football is certainly one that we're both interested in. So we're continuing to talk about that. Also, women's basketball, women's sports will be included in this. So we're working on those as we go forward. The basketball one was important and fell into place quite easily. And, you know, so we're continuing to work on those other sports. So you can expect other announcements going forward.
C-Dot, do you have any interest in seeing Mizzou versus KU in football?
I don't want to make it seem like I wouldn't be interested, because I would be interested. I'm just not hard-pressed for it. This is a basketball rivalry, and there's nothing wrong with that. I know they played a great game in 07. They played a really good game in 08 when Kansas won on the Meyer on the Reesing the Meyer touchdown. But we don't have memories and great memories of KU and MU on the football field aside from the one time they played this game that really mattered. That's never what this rivalry has been about. Would it be cool if they play each other? Absolutely. But again, I'm not hard-pressed for it.
You might not have memories, but you're 31 years old. I think the older fans out there remember a lot of great KU and MU football games. It's hard to imagine that 10 years ago, MU was ranked number two, KU was ranked number three. They were playing a game at Arrowhead to determine who was going to be the number one team in the country. But apparently that actually happened. I'd love to see it again. I don't know if Arrowhead is the venue. I don't know if they could get 50,000 people into Arrowhead, so I don't know how good that would look on TV. But I could see a home-and-home series, play a game in Lawrence, play a game in Columbia. Probably not going to happen next year or the year after that. But at some point, these two teams are going to get back together on the football field just like they did on the basketball court.
Three.
Final hit of the day is the one that's got C-Dot all worked up today. The Chiefs seem like they really might not make a move at the trade deadline. We saw this from Sam Mellinger earlier today. This came from him on Twitter. Says, sounds less and less likely that the Chiefs are going to make a move. I really thought Patrick Peterson would make sense, but the Cardinals are 3-3-1. They are not dealing. There are some good players available, but they're on bad contracts, and the Chiefs have a lot of money going out soon. Here was Terez Paylor saying something similar earlier today on The Drive.
You know, at this point, you can get some help at some of these positions we've been talking about, but there's some bad contracts out there that are available. And I think they'll, like, continue to, like, monitor it. And, of course, this could change. But, like, at the moment, I am getting a sense, you know, unless they can find something that's a good cost-benefit, you know, they might have to look for improvement from within.
If you missed that full interview, you should check it out. It's on the podcast page at 610sports.com and the radio.com app. C-Dot, the floor is yours.
I'm not asking the Chiefs to go out and make a major splash. Would I love for them to get Patrick Peterson? Absolutely. But I would say those are the players, to you guys' point, that they have to be available. Teams are not looking to give up elite-level potential Hall of Fame players unless you're really willing to overspend. But I thought that Terez, in another cut, talked about reinforcements and supplemental-type moves. That's what I think the defense needs. I think the trade deadline has evolved in the NFL is you get 7 weeks to evaluate where your team is at, 7-8 weeks, and then you go make a decision to go grab a player you think can help you. The Patriots have done that. The Texans have done that. Seattle has done that. They've looked at their roster. We need a corner. We need a wide receiver. We need fill in the blank, and you go get it. I want this team to do the exact same thing. I don't think it's a move for the sake of making a move. Look at their run defense. They can't use one more body in the run defense to help them, whether it's through rotation or whether it's adding another starter, whether it's a defensive lineman or a linebacker. I just don't know how you can look at this defense and feel 100% content with the guys that you got. I think you got to go grab one more piece.
Especially the next couple of weeks when you play Green Bay and Minnesota with a combined record of 11-3. The Mahomes-less epidemic is a real thing, and this team's going to have to put parts around him on both sides of the ball. Everybody's going to have to step up. Andy's going to have to step up. If we're talking about an actual move the Chiefs could land at this point, because the trade deadline's a week away, and then we can stop talking about this, Geno Atkins makes the most sense to me. The Bengals suck, expiring contract. The Chiefs need somebody on that defensive line. It makes a lot of sense. I'm not calling it their Johnny Cueto move to get them over the top and all of a sudden they're going to win the Super Bowl, but of the conversations we've been having, Patrick Peterson, Marcus Peters, Jalen Ramsey, Chris Harris, there's a lot of names that, frankly, we're never going to end up in Kansas City. Geno Atkins is one that makes a ton of sense.
This is maybe the flaw in it, excuse me, that I think a lot of Kansas City people are maybe hell-bent towards. I don't know if in football there is that Johnny Cueto move. I don't know if it's the Ben Zobrist move. So I've never really maybe evaluated it through that lens. I want them to go out and improve their roster. I just saw the New England Patriots this week know what their number one need is. We need a player on the outside. We need another playmaker. That's where we're most deficient at. And they have been trying to solve that all season, whether it was week two when they went to go get Antonio Brown, whether it was earlier today when they went to go get Mohamed Sanu. The number one problem with the New England Patriots is outside playmakers. They went out and they tried to get one. Now, Mohamed Sanu might not work out, but the Patriots are always looking at their roster, trying to improve it, and looking to improve their weaknesses. That's all I'm asking the Chiefs to do here. Like, I feel like the ask is a very simple ask. Look at your team, evaluate it. Look at the other 31 teams in the NFL and their roster. Do you think there's a player and a contract that you like, and then offer up a draft pick to go acquire a player? It's not a novel concept. I'm telling you, it happens. It's even players that aren't rumored that get traded. I didn't know Marcus Peters was going to get traded. He wasn't a name we were talking about. He got traded. He was available. Calls were being made in the NFL. He got offered to multiple teams. He got offered to Cleveland. He got offered to other teams, and they said no. A team finally stepped up. Some teams have made it clear their intentions on acquiring a player. Baltimore was going to require a corner this entire time. They were in on Ramsey. They were in on Minkah Fitzpatrick. They were in on Marcus Peters, and they finally landed their corner. Teams are preparing, especially in the AFC, with how wide open it appears. Now that Kansas City isn't as dominant as we thought they were going to be, the other quote-unquote contenders in the AFC are preparing for the playoffs. What are the Chiefs doing to do the same?
If the Chiefs got their equivalent of Mohamed Sanu, I guess it would get me a little bit excited on the defensive side because it would make them a better football team. But the truth is, you're not going to be able to have your cake and eat it too. You're either going to get a guy like that that's probably going to have very little impact, that's a middle-of-the-road player on an expiring contract, or you're going to have to pay up. And the problem with that other teams, you bring up New England, doesn't have to deal with, it's easy for them to go out and get guys. They're not going to have to deal with Patrick Mahomes' contract next year. So Jalen Ramsey seemed like a really obvious move to make. The Chiefs just have to trade away a couple of draft picks. They're trying to win the Super Bowl. He's the best cornerback in football. It's not that easy. There's also a contract. You also have to pay him, and you have to pay a guy named Patrick Mahomes going forward. So I hear what you're saying. Go out there and land the biggest fish you can. It's just not that simple.
They already did that. The answer is Frank Clark.
Yeah, how's that going?
The trades in the NFL are different.
They typically can make let's just face it. They could make a ton of moves right now had they not made that move for Frank Clark.
Agreed, but they've already made that one kind of move. Get him to playing better would be step one.
Yes.
Can you do what you did against the Broncos, and can he carry that on, and can it be bunches? The NFL just works differently. Your Odell Beckham doesn't get traded at the deadline. He gets traded in the offseason. Your Frank Clark don't get traded. Your big-time players, Khalil Mack, got traded in the offseason. That's when teams make that home run kind of move, and now it's just solidifying your roster. Think about the Rams last year. They made their big-time moves in the offseason, and then at the deadline, they got Dante Fowler, a pass rusher, who helped them go to the Super Bowl. That's all I'm asking them to do. Go find your Dante Fowler. Go find your Mohamed Sanu. Go find your Emmanuel Sanders. Go find that player that answers a need at a weak position for you. That's just a very simple thing to do.
The reinforcements are coming, just not from another team. They're coming from within. At some point, Eric Fisher comes back. In theory, Sammy Watkins comes back. Chris Jones comes back. Like, the Chiefs might improve more than any other team at the trade deadline without making a move, because they're going to get their own guys back.
We'll see.
I mean, we'll keep talking about Pat. It's going to be three or 4 weeks. 3 or 4 weeks from now, in theory, should be the first time that the Chiefs are at least close to 100% this entire year.
But you can do both. Defensively, you can do both. You can wait for the guys to get healthy offensively and still trade a third-round pick. It's not an either-or scenario.
I just didn't jump off the ship that you did, because heading into the season, you said you think this is a Super Bowl-caliber team. I think the reason that they're not right now, heading into Week 8, is because of injuries. Once these guys get back, I haven't jumped off that ship. You did. I still think it's a Super Bowl caliber team.
Do you think their defense is good enough to win the Super Bowl? That's right now our fundamental difference is, do you think their defense is enough? That I personally have changed my expectations for this team because I've watched them play a half season defensively. I've watched the other teams in the NFL, and I think their defense is still going to be the reason why they can't go to the Super Bowl.
But is this what the defense is? You don't think the defense is going to get better? You don't think Spags is going to get more comfortable and Frank Clark can't play any worse and Juan Thornhill's a rookie is going to get more comfortable and Chris Jones is going to be healthy? That's what I'm saying is, can this defense, based on the way they're playing right now, win a Super Bowl? No. I don't think this is going to be the Super Bowl they take to the playoffs, the team they take to the playoffs on that side of the ball. The players are going to be, I just think they're going to be a lot better.
I don't think they can stop the run. I don't think that's getting much better.
I don't think they're going to be this bad all season long against the run defense. If they are, they're going to be the worst team in NFL history against the run D, and they're not good. I don't think they're the worst ever.
Chris Jones played against Baltimore, correct?
Mm-hmm.
32 carries for 203 yards. Chris Jones played against Detroit. 35 carries, 186 yards. Now, Chris Jones has missed some time. Absolutely. That's a major factor with this defense. He has been there for some of the problems with the run defense. He was on the run defense last year against New England. He
He's
was
not
on
the run defense the run.
Last year
He's
against
not
Seattle.
Against the run at
That's
all.
The only reinforcement coming defensively. Every other improvement you're talking about is based on we got to score so many points because we know our defense isn't good. At this point, the answer is out. The answers to the final are out on how to beat the Kansas City Chiefs defensively. It has nothing to even do with the offense. It's ball control, time of possession, run the clock. You can keep them on the sideline, and you can run at the Chiefs. I've seen nothing from the Chiefs that would suggest that that's going to change over the next couple of weeks. I hear you, and maybe they'll improve just a little bit, but you're telling me this team, if they're the 3 seed or the 4 seed, and they got to go in 3 straight teams in the playoffs, and they play Buffalo for 1 game, and they play Houston for 1, and they play the Patriots for the 1, that you think that they can stop the run enough to go to the Super Bowl? I just haven't seen that. And maybe that one piece doesn't do it. But they need some help. They need some reinforcements. They got to get more. They got to get more athletic at linebacker. They got to get a run stopper. So if that guy's Geno Atkins that you can put and you can now solidify that defensive line, then you got to do that. But I know that sitting on your hands and not trying is not good enough. Not with what they've sold us, not with this all-in year, not with Mahomes on his rookie contract. Standing pat and not trying to improve your roster, that shouldn't be good enough when the team that you feel is your biggest competitor, they nonstop have been trying to improve their roster, in theory, to beat you.
You say they need more. They're going to need more to be really good coming up on Sunday. Matt Moore, back-to-back games against Green Bay and Minnesota. I think we're going to have a much better indication. The season will be halfway over. After the Sunday night game, national TV, obviously the Chiefs don't have even close to their full arsenal of weapons, but dream with me for just a second. If somehow the Chiefs can win that game, and right now they're 3.5-point underdogs with their backup quarterback, then they'll be 6-2. They'll have just won a big game. At that point, they'll probably be favored against Minnesota, and then I think you're going to change your tune. Now, there are a lot of ifs, but if they can beat Green Bay, I think everybody's going to look at this team and say they're just fine, especially knowing they're going to get back Patrick Mahomes. But again, that's a big if.
But I think at least for me, the conversation is not about the regular season, and it's once again back to the original question we asked at the beginning of the season. How do you match up against the New England Patriots? That's the question. Like, maybe I'm wrong for not moving off that, but this season was about winning the Super Bowl.
Wouldn't you say their offense is worse than you thought it was going to be, the same way the Chiefs' defense is worse than you thought it was going
to
be?
And the Patriots just made a very big move to try to improve their offense.
That was not a very big move, Carrington. That was a move.
I think Sanu's going to be good for him.
I think that's Mo Claiborne. It's a move. It's fine. It, in theory, helps your football team, but it's not a huge splash move. It's a move. Their offense is terrible. It's a smart move to make. They're a smart organization, but I don't think all of a sudden nobody can beat the Patriots because they got Mohamed Sanu.
I think that the Patriots' defense is exactly what people thought the Chiefs' offense was going to be. I think at the end of the season, we were talking about the Patriots having one of the 10 best defenses in the history of the NFL.
I think part of that's the schedule they've played too.
And they've been downright dominant
That's
against
fair.
The schedule.
That's fair.
Like, this would be like if the Chiefs had played the exact same schedule and were averaging 50 points a game. That's how dominant they've been. Yesterday, the Jets are a bad football
Aren't
team.
Aren't they?
They made the Jets look like a college team yesterday. I saw a stat today from...
Sam Darnold had 0 touchdowns, 4 picks, and a 3.6 quarterback rating. And in BK's fantasy league, got -7 points.
Quarterbacks playing the Patriots this year have a quarterback rating of 35.6. Let me put in context how bad that is. If instead of throwing the football to their receivers, the quarterback just decided to spike the ball into the ground on every single play, their quarterback rating would improve against the Patriots to 39.6. Quarterbacks against the Patriots have been worse than if they simply spiked the football into the ground on every single play against them.
I don't know what kind of voodoo math you just did to come up with that, but that's nuts. That doesn't make any sense.
And
that's for the year. We've played seven games.
No, and I completely understand people and their hesitancy towards the Patriots based on the schedule that they played. But what they're doing against NFL teams and how dominant they've been, that's how I thought the Chiefs offense was going to be. I thought it was going to be a once-in-a-generation unit that we can talk about.
How do you know it's not? I mean, Pat's been limping around. They've been out without their left tackle. We just got back Tyreek Hill. Sammy Watkins has been Sammy Watkins. How can you say definitively they're not that offense?
I just haven't seen it yet. They can be. You're right. They can be. I'm seeing the Patriots defense go do it right now. And with absolutely no reason. What's the flaw in the Patriots defense? I don't know what their flaw is. They can get to the quarterback. They can take the football away. They're just doing things at such a high level. Now, they play Baltimore here week 8. Let's see how they look against Baltimore. Let's see if they can stop the run. Let's say they can do those things. But I think what's happening with the Patriots are Chiefs fans are talking about them like they're the 2014 Kansas City Chiefs. Remember the Chiefs got out to that 9-0 start and they had beat all those backup quarterbacks and they played the Broncos and lost? I think that's how people are viewing the New England Patriots. I think the Patriots just deserve a little bit more benefit of the doubt than that. I don't want anyone to think that I'm all the way off on the Chiefs. I'm not all the way off on the Chiefs. If this year, if it was all about how do you line up against the New England Patriots, I just don't think they line up very well given the roster that they have so far, and they need to do something. Say what you want about the Patriots. The Patriots are actively trying to get better. Do you think the Chiefs are trying to do that?
No, and even if they do make a move, I'm not sure it's going to be the right one based on Brett Veach's resume so far. I just think that the Patriots' offense is very average, the same way the Chiefs' defense is at this point when it comes to points allowed, very average. Once they get back their reinforcements, I get it. New England might be statistically the best defense in the history of the NFL once this regular season wraps up. I still think the Chiefs are that offense. I still think the Chiefs can put up points on that defense once Pat doesn't have an ankle or a knee injury, once Eric Fisher's back. They're going to run the ball better too. I hear what you're saying about Frank Clark. I know it's not the sexiest answer, but it's an easy answer. He can't be worse. He has to be a little bit better. I'd say the same thing about the running game. They can't be worse. At some point, they're going to be a little bit better than they've been so far. They've got enough weapons to beat that Patriots defense. I know today it sounds crazy, but that's not the team we've seen so far.
And I think the Chiefs' fully healthy offense matches up decently against the New England Patriots. I think that's a little bit of a wash. So if we're going to go down this road is the Patriots are acknowledging what the weak side of their football is and making a move. We just disagree on Mohamed Sanu. Now, I don't want to sell it last year, 66 catches, 838 yards. This year, 313 yards on 33 catches. I think he's going to step in and be a legitimate number two receiver against them, and I don't know if you can really match up with them. Their biggest witness, they got better. You now add Josh Gordon, Mohamed Sanu, and Julian Edelman. That's a pretty decent pass-catching option, and that's a pretty good bunch of players if you want to talk about offensive improvement for New England.
Let me give you a better pass-catching option. Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, and Tyreek Hill with Patrick Mahomes throwing them the football. That's what I'm saying. The Chiefs' offense, we haven't seen even close to – Pat's been injured since the first quarter of the first game. Tyreek Hill got injured 12 plays into the season. In theory, when Pat comes back, everybody should be back around that same time. They'll face New England, and then we'll get a chance to actually see this game played out.
Do you think the Chiefs defense is enough? Because maybe that's the fundamental disagreement in all of this. I'm on the side of I don't think their defense is enough. I don't disagree about their offense. I think their offense is enough. I think their offense, when fully healthy, is one of the five best units in the NFL. I think they can score on just about anybody. The problem is, at some point, when you score a touchdown, you got to kick the ball to the other team because that's the rules. You can't just keep possession the entire time. And we saw Houston with 6, 10-play, double-digit play drives and time of possession. There is one common thread whenever the Chiefs lose. It's not Mahomes throws 3 interceptions. It's not Tyreek Hill has 5 drops. The common thread in these games are the team runs the ball 35-plus times. They then hold the ball for 35, 40 minutes, and then they beat you. The reason they're losing these games against playoff teams is not the offense doesn't show up or they're not good enough offensively. The reason they lose these games are they can't stop the run and they can't get off the field. What are they doing to answer that question?
Maybe I'm blind. Maybe I'm a fool. Maybe I'm all the above. But I just think that Spags is going to get better. I think that Frank Clark has to be better. Chris Jones is going to be healthy. Juan Thornhill, a rookie who's played since day one, is going to get more comfortable. I don't think we've seen the best of this Chiefs defense yet.
Okay.
Maybe I'm an idiot. Maybe I'm just dead wrong.
You're coming around on the I'm holding out hope for Frank Clark. That's how I know we've come full circle.
Do you think he's going to be worse?
That game against Denver turned your opinion on Frank Clark. That game against Denver
he
turned
was good.
Around for you. No, he was
really good.
He was great against
Denver. As much smack talk as I've gave that guy because he's deserved it, the first six games against Denver, and that's Denver, he was really good. By the numbers, by the eye test, getting off blocks. If Frank Clark can be half that good the rest of the season, then I'm fine with Frank Clark.
I just don't put anything into the game against Denver, honestly. Like, on both sides of the football, I don't take anything away from Denver. I think Denver is a bad football team that quit. You could see the look and energy in Joe Flacco's eyes. He wanted to be anywhere away from where they were playing football. I think their offensive line is terrible. I think Denver is an awful football team. I don't put any stock into it.
The Chiefs went from 28th in the league in sacks to 5th after the Denver game.
If they come out and they look well against the Green Bay Packers, all right, that's a good football team that does a lot of things that give you problems. But beating the Denver Broncos up just doesn't show me a whole
lot.
I'll
be shocked.
One time just doesn't show me anything.
If that defense comes out and looks anything like they did, I mean, you're going from Joe Flacco to Aaron Rodgers. Enough said.
It just doesn't show me a whole lot. Coming up in just a minute, we'll get back into the border war. Kansas and Missouri have agreed to play each other in basketball. What does that mean? We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
The text line is very upsetting. I mean, it was pretty unanimous.
Well, they want to know how you're giving the Patriots credit for the schedule they've played, but not giving any credit for the Chiefs beating a terrible Broncos team.
This is why. We've seen the Patriots play, or vice versa. We've seen the Chiefs go up against bad teams. Their defense didn't look anything like that. I watched them go up against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I saw Frank Clark do nothing. I also saw Gardner Minshew tear this team apart for the most part. I saw them go up against the Denver Broncos. Josh Jacobs was going to rush for 100 yards if he didn't sit out the entire second quarter, and their offense just had the best quarter we've seen so far that create that distance. So I've seen them go up against inferior competition. Their defense didn't look anything like how they looked against the Denver Broncos. And what the Patriots are doing is something like we've never seen before in the league. That I agree, there's going to be some regression with the Patriots' defense. Like, you're not going to do this consistently against good teams. But they are playing at such a level that even when they regress, they're likely still going to be the best defense in the NFL. They're averaging less than a touchdown given up a game. I just read this stat. If you took away extra points and you took away field goals, their defense would still have outscored the other teams 20-18. Like, some of the numbers in which they are putting up are things that we have never seen before in the NFL that, again, even when they regress. Like, Denver's defense looked like that against the Broncos. I've also seen what their regression looks like when they play good teams, and I don't think that's good enough. I do think with New England, even when they regress and they start playing good teams, week 8 they play Baltimore in the second half of the season, even if they regress to giving up 16 points a game, that's a defense that's certainly good enough to win the Super Bowl in 2019.
I see both sides of it. I mean, the teams they've played are all-time bad. Steelers, Dolphins, Jets, Bills, Redskins, Patriots, Jets again. Like, that's, to start a season, that's as easy as a schedule you could have. Now, they beat those teams 33-3, 43-0, 30-14. The Bills game's the only close one they've played, 16-10, 33-7, 35-14, and one last night on Monday Night Football, 33-0. So I think it's a bit disingenuous to point to the Patriots and say they've played nobody. That's true. The old adage, you can only beat the teams that are on your schedule. They've beat the hell out of every single one of these teams.
They've dominated those teams, and again, it's just a point of regression. You know when you're watching a basketball game and then the score's really close, but one team's shooting like 85%, you're thinking, you're not going to do that the entire game. Like, you know, you're not going to shoot it at 85% pace. At some point, you start missing jumpers. That the Patriots are not going to only allow 7 points a game the entire season. But what do you think their regression point is? If we can identify that the Chiefs defense that played against the Broncos is not the real Chiefs defense, because I've seen them play 6 other games this season and that's not them, what does the real Chiefs defense look like? Maybe this is not the real Patriots defense, but I'm gambling on the fact that when they start playing good teams, we'll still see a defense that's good enough for you to win with, and Brady and Belichick, they'll figure it out offensively. I don't know if that's the case with the Chiefs.
So if we're just talking about these two teams right now, the Patriots and the Chiefs, and it's far from a foregone conclusion that I think the Patriots are going to play in the AFC Championship game at this point, there's probably 4 or 5 teams you can include with the Chiefs that hopefully get that far. If you're talking about regression, though, from the Patriots, and we all agree at some point the weather gets colder, the schedule gets more difficult, there's going to be regression for that defense. Isn't there going to be progression with the Chiefs' offense? Aren't they going to get better once they get back Eric Fisher? We don't think the running back game is going to be as bad as it's been all year. They finally got back Tyreek Hill. So my question is, both at 100%, which is essentially what we've seen from the Patriots' defense this year and we have not seen from the Chiefs, Do you not think the Chiefs can put up 21, 28 points on this Patriots defense? Because at full strength, I think they can, even in New England.
And my question would be is, do you think that the Chiefs defense can then hold the Patriots under that?
Yes.
That's the question.
Yes.
Based on what?
Have you seen the Patriots offense?
Yeah, I've seen their offense. I've also seen the Chiefs defense. Which one am I going to gamble on? The side that has Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, or the side that has Frank Clark and Steve Spagnuolo? Which one are you ready to gamble on?
You know the answer to
okay,
that.
Okay, well, all right then. Well, then you answered your question then. Which one are you willing to gamble on? So if you're telling me that – so if the logic is the Chiefs defense – or excuse me, the Patriots defense and the Chiefs offense are going to neutralize each other and cancel each other out, that's perfectly fine. I'm asking you about that defense. That's what I'm talking about when it comes to improving this roster or adding pieces. Which one do you think is going to get better? Because I think the Patriots offense is going to get better. They just added Mohamed Sanu and Sony Michel can't be worse running the football than he's been so far this season. He's been Damian Williams so far this year. So there's still some progression with the Chiefs offense as well. Which one's going to cancel each other out on that side? I got to ride with the Patriots if the Chiefs are going to stay how they are.
Yeah, their offense is actually a little bit better than I thought they were. They're not good by Patriots standards, but they're just on the outside of the top 10. So if they need to, something tells me, especially against this defense and if the game's in New England, they're going to be able to put some points on the Chiefs.
No, you're absolutely right. Someone says you're asking the same question. Who's going to score more points, the Chiefs and the Patriots? Based on what I've seen so far, I will bet on the Patriots. I've seen no reason to think that the Chiefs are going to go on the road and beat a team like New England. I've seen no reason to think that they're going to beat a team that can run the football and play defense. They have not beat that team outside of Baltimore. They have not beat that team under Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. They haven't. They haven't beat that team.
Let them beat Green Bay on Sunday. They're probably not going to. They're underdogs. Aaron Rodgers versus Matt Moore. I think you and the entire city is going to change their tune. If with a backup quarterback halfway through the season, this team's 6-2, we'll look back on it with all the injuries that they've had. That would be a wild, wild success the first half of the season.
Text line 69306. All right, C-Dot, he's back to being negative. Things are going to turn around. I'm willing to turn around on the Chiefs if they improve in one or two areas. If they can run the football more or play defense. If they can improve in one of those two ways, I'll be back in on the Chiefs.
Don't you think they're going to improve in both those facets? Like, there's no way they can be as bad at stopping the run or running the football they have been so far.
I don't know, honestly. Defensively, I would say no, at least with the pieces that they have right now without making a move. Running the football, I think they can be better. I don't think they're going to be a team that is consistently good at it.
I think you're going to see the next couple of weeks they're going to try. I'm not saying they're going to be great.
I don't think they have an option, though, other than to try with this team.
No, Pat's not back there. Matt is. You got to try to run the football. It's not going to work like you did a couple of weeks ago, handing the ball off 9 times and 13 times. I'm talking 25 or 30 times if you want to hang around against the Packers and the Vikings, who, by the way, can run the football. Aaron Jones and Dalvin Cook both have 8 touchdowns apiece.
Yeah. Are they going to be able to stop the run and play good defense against these two teams? I mean, that would be a huge start. A huge start would be over these next 2 weeks, you play teams that can score. And you do that. Can you do it? Like, that's the Chiefs got to answer that call. If you feel like they've answered it so far this season, then fine. We just disagree. That's perfectly fine. But can you run the ball effectively? Can you stop the run? I think that's going to be a theme this season. All the teams that are have a chance to go to the Super Bowl can do that except the Chiefs. Every single team. Every team you think can go to the Super Bowl, if you write them down, what teams can win the Super Bowl? All of them are the same. They can run the ball and play defense. The Chiefs haven't shown they can do that at any point this season. Can they do it?
And their next two opponents can do those things. Oh, by the way, they can pass the ball also. The two hottest quarterbacks in football might be Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins. They've got two great running backs and two top 10 scoring defenses. Not exactly the teams you want to face with a backup quarterback.
Let's get into Mizzou for a little bit before we go inside the mind of the machine. I've sat here and I've listened to KU fans tell me for 6 years, all the reasons to not play this game for various reasons.
I forgot what the fight was even over.
So I am happy that now we can finally put all that aside and we can agree that this is a really good thing for Kansas. This is a really good thing for Missouri. This is a really good thing for Kansas City, which I assume a majority of you live.
It's like a relationship. They don't need each other, but clearly when KU and MU are together, things are just better.
Yeah, to me, need maybe in this is maybe we're looking at need a little bit differently. Like, Kansas does not need Missouri. They're one of the three best college basketball programs. They're still going to win national championships. They're still going to be on Big Monday and do all those things. But I do think there was a void in KU's schedule. Playing Iowa State does not fill the void. Playing Kansas State does not fill the void. Playing a random team at Sprint Center does not fill it. The void on both sides was you're not playing your rival. And they're one of the few universities that don't play their rival. I guess Texas is now in that category because they've moved, but they've kind of changed their stance on playing Texas A&M. The reason that we like sports is, A, it's fun. It's the competitive nature of it. It's the rivalry. It's the trash talk, and it's the back and forth. Kansas fans don't have the same vitriol towards K-State fans that they have towards Missouri. Missouri doesn't have that same vitriol towards random fill-in-the-blank SEC school that they have towards Kansas. It was always going to be something missing. I'm not saying that it's not cool to be a KU fan, because I would imagine watching your team win a majority of the time is very cool. But it's not as cool when you don't get to beat and hold the dominance. Part of, I think, what makes being a KU fan cool is you live in an era where you have clear superiority over the other two schools. You're a much better basketball program than Missouri, a much better basketball program than K-State. You are the only one between basketball and football that plays at an elite level. Part of the joy is knowing my team would whoop your team's ass anytime we play in this sport that you care about so much, that I do think that need so-and-so was still there for Kansas.
Absolutely. When it comes to rivalries, for a few years there, both teams were basically a man without a country. And yeah, KU played K-State, but we know how that usually works out. And MU played Arkansas. The real rivalry, the border war, KU versus MU, is back. And it's great for everybody. KU fans, MU fans, Kansas Cityans, basketball fans. Coming up next year, December 12th, 2020, is going to be the hottest ticket at Sprint Center since, I don't know, Jay-Z and Kanye came to town.
Text line 693-306. Texas has more than one rival, traditional and competitive, A&M and Oklahoma. I don't really think that Nebraska's a rivalry, not in the sense that Oklahoma is with the Red River Shootout, but Kansas just doesn't have that game. Like, before they played them, if I asked you who the biggest rivalry was, you probably would have said Kansas State. And I've been to KU and K-State games. That's not a rivalry game. Especially when I've been to Missouri and Illinois games, I've been to Missouri KU games, I've been to I saw Oklahoma play Oklahoma State whenever Blake Griffin was in college. I've seen a rivalry game. That's not what KU and K-State is. It's a nice game. It's competitive sometimes. It's not a rivalry game. Kansas got their rivalry game
back. Besides Carolina Duke and Louisville, Kentucky, is there a better rivalry game in all of college basketball you can think of?
Probably not. I mean, you can maybe go Xavier Cincinnati. Maybe that would be it. Maybe you would go to some of those Big Five games out in Philadelphia, yeah. Those rivalries. But no, there aren't many rivalries that have the history and tradition. And I can admit, it's one-sided. Like, Kansas is much better at basketball than Missouri is, but it is a rivalry that everybody has their own single pieces to it, whether it's the Thomas Robinson block, whether it's, like, various things. Like, there are different memories associated with the rivalry that I think makes it so good, and it's in one of those unique places that most college rivalries, they are either, it's like a, they're not as close, maybe, as like, other than Alabama and Auburn, maybe other than Duke, Carolina, I don't know if there's a rivalry that exists where the people live so close to each other.
That's part of what makes it so cool, is we're all Chiefs fans, we're all Royals fans, but when it comes to the Kansas City metro area, you either represent KU, K-State, or MU, and it divides us, but now that they play again, it brings us back together.
Text line 69306, KU-MU used to be like Chiefs and Raiders, but why would it be the same if they're not in the same conference? I don't know if it was ever like that, because let's be honest, Duke and Carolina works because, A, of the tradition. Also, when they play each other, they're playing for a lot. Missouri and Kansas very rarely have played for a lot. Like, very rarely has Missouri been like, hey, we can win the Big 12 if we win this basketball game. It's always been a rivalry based in longstanding tradition and hatred between the fan bases. I'm telling you, that's not changing, at least not from the Missouri side. I can't speak for the KU side, but I feel very strong speaking for BK. Whenever that game is coming up, and next year, I will convince myself that Missouri will beat them. It will be a rivalry. Like, it will be a legitimate rivalry regardless of what the records are.
KU wins 5 of these 6 games. I'm just throwing that out there. KU goes 5-1 of these 6 games. MU gets 1 in Columbia, and that's it.
You don't think they win either of the Sprint Center games?
No. KU's going to get up for that game like it's a tournament game. I'm not talking about a tournament game versus Belmont or Bucknell or
Northern Iowa. I've
seen
them lose tournament games.
No, I'm not talking about those.
I've seen them lose tournament games at Sprint Center. I'm just, you say like a tournament game at Sprint Center. I've seen them lose. I think they lost the last tournament game they played.
They did.
So, yeah, you can beat that team at Sprint Center. Now, can they beat them at Allen? No chance. You're not beating them in Allen. Can they get 1 at Sprint and 1 in Columbia? I think that's possible.
Maybe. Doubt it, but maybe.
I mean, right, if I had to take the over under 1.5, I would take the over. I don't think they get 2 or more than 2. I think 2 is fair. Can they win 1 of the 2 games at Sprint? Can they win 1 of the 2 games in Columbia?
I thought I was being generous giving y'all 1.
I mean, they're not beating them 6 times in a row. Not under Konzo. Maybe you got Kim Anderson coming back, which, I mean, I've been, just let me turn in my Missouri fan card here, because I'm not cheering for another Kim Anderson coach basketball team. But, yeah, MU's going to be good enough over the 6 years to win 1 of these.
Konzo with a C, not with a K, right? He's not Coach K all of a sudden.
No, he's not Coach K.
Okay, just making sure.
He is good enough to win a home game against Kansas. All right. I certainly think that he is good enough to do that. Before we sign off today, let's take a trip inside the mind of the machine.
Guys, the Chiefs face a couple of really good running backs the next couple of weeks, Aaron Jones and Dalvin Cook. Let's talk about Dalvin Cook, C-Dot. Is he the best running back in the NFL right now?
Did something happen to Christian McCaffrey?
No.
Is he hurt? Oh, okay, I didn't know. I thought something happened to Christian McCaffrey. You know, the answer is him. Christian McCaffrey's fantastic.
He's top five, though. He's top five. I would say it's Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook. I'm missing somebody.
Damien Williams?
Yeah.
Didn't make the list? Michael Jordan.
Can I ask you a question? Why do you think Christian McCaffrey's not a bigger deal? Christian McCaffrey is a white running back in the NFL, and he's maybe the best non-offensive quarterback or offensive player in the NFL. Like, I feel like Christian McCaffrey should be a much bigger deal.
I mean, I think he's the second best white running back of all time behind John Riggins. Who else even on that list?
I kind of feel like Christian McCaffrey should be like how J.J. Watt was. Like, J.J. Watt, as a defensive player, was everywhere. I'm really stunned that Christian McCaffrey's not a bigger deal. He must have the personality of a snail. Like, how is Christian McCaffrey not
a
lot of
it is
popular?
That he plays for Carolina, and Carolina is just kind of a football team.
And Carolina's already got a pitch, man. His name's Cam Newton, so it's kind of tough to shine when you play with that guy.
And he hasn't been playing. So he's on an team. He's at a position that isn't exactly valued in the NFL the way that it once was. Like, who is the most glamorous running back in the league right now? The most glamorous running back in the league outside of Ezekiel Elliott, and he plays for the Cowboys, so that's a different conversation, is who?
Yeah, I don't know. There is
one. Probably Saquon Barkley. It's probably the answer.
That's probably a good one. Yeah.
Michael Jordan said that Steph Curry isn't a Hall of Famer just yet. C-Dot, do you agree?
This is where I think the media kind of did Michael Jordan a disservice. So if you watch the full context of the question, Mike picked his all-time starting five, and he had.
Tell me, they went Channel 5 on us.
And he had four Hall of Famers on there. Like, he had four Hall of Famers. And then they asked him about Steph Curry. And then he said that he wanted guys who had been in the wars and that Steph Curry isn't a Hall of Famer yet. So the context of it is very different than how it's been portrayed.
Okay. Now that I know that, Steph Curry's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Nick Foles is returning to practice this week. Should the Jags go with him or Gardner Minshew once Foles is ready to go?
I don't really think they have a choice. I think they have to play. Like, they can't trade Nick Foles. They can't do anything with it. So if Foles is healthy, I think they're going to be forced to play him.
The other thing is Minshew hasn't been playing as well the last few weeks. So I think you have to go with Nick Foles, and you just see where this goes from here and make your ultimate decision in the offseason.
After Sam Darnold and the Jets got shut out last night by the Patriots, he said, and I quote, "I was seeing ghosts out there." Is that more a sign that Darnold is either paranoid or overrated, or the Patriots' defense is just that good?
I mean, paranoid and overrated at this point with Sam Darnold. I don't really – who's overrating Sam Darnold?
You?
He's just – I mean, I thought he was going to take the jump. He didn't take the jump. I mean, I thought that one of these young quarterbacks was going to take the jump. Oddly enough, the answer was Lamar Jackson. That's the player that took the jump.
As bad as the Jets are, I know this sounds crazy, I think they're going to win – 6 of their next 7 games. I know that sounds nuts after getting their asses kicked last night. Here's their schedule. Jags, Dolphins, Giants, Redskins, Raiders, Bengals, Dolphins.
Here's the problem. You know what all those teams are doing when they see that the Jets are on their schedule?
Winning.
Feeling the same way about the Jets that the Jets feel about them.
That's true. But we're talking a little football. The XFL revealed its schedule.
There's no
today.
Way you really believe that about the Jets. There's no way you believe that.
Those are some bad teams. Can the Jets
the
not
Jets
beat the Redskins?
Are a bad team.
The Redskins, the Bengals, the Dolphins twice.
Set the over-under.
They can go 500 in that stretch.
Yeah, there's no way they're going 6-1 over any stretch.
That's your team, not mine. I was just trying to build them up. Who is the most complete team in football right now? Most complete, not the best. Who's the most complete
the Patriots.
Team in football
the
right now?
Patriots.
Really?
This is one of those things, like, I hate whenever we do
really?
In the NBA. Like, we're like, who's the best two-way player? Well, everybody in the NBA is a two-way player. Who's the best player? Like, that's what we try to quantify and ask these different questions. The best team in the NFL is the New England Patriots.
Yeah, but they're not the most complete
team.
The
most complete team is the Saints.
Yes.
No, I don't disagree. I just made the analogy. It's like in the NBA when they say, Klay Thompson's the best two-way. Well, what does that mean? Like, everybody in the NFL has to play, or NBA has to play two ways. It's not like on defense, you can just choose to go sit down. Like, you got to play. The most complete team in the NFL
he
is the
best. He asked a question.
Team.
I answered his question. You didn't. I asked the question earlier. You didn't answer my question.
I answered
this question
it. The
was,
Patriots.
The most complete team is who? You said the Patriots. That's the wrong answer.
And you
we
compared it to an NBA player who plays both sides. There's an offense and a defense on the Patriots. So when you talk about a complete team, you can separate the offense and the defense. That's okay to do.
Yeah,
the best team
is the
Patriots because they have the most dominant unit in the NFL. Just like last year, I thought the Chiefs were the best team because they had the best offense, the most dominant unit.
Seattle's a more complete team. Green Bay's a more complete team. Minnesota's a more complete team.
Yeah, you're right. I guess I heard it is, whenever the game is completed, who's going to have more points at the end of the game? And I picked the New England Patriots because they would have more points than the other team at the end of the game. Thanks so much for listening to The Drive. Go ahead and download the podcast page. Also available on iTunes. Back again tomorrow. It is The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.